Good morning, everybody. It really is lovely to be with you today and to bring to you God's precious word. I want to start by reading a scripture from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." We are living in strange days. I myself can never remember a day and age like this, where the coronavirus, a deadly virus, has been spread around the world. It just appeared, and within months, it's around the whole world. This virus is spreading fear, because it's a virus that can kill. Way back in 1918, after the First World War, the Spanish flu broke out in Europe, and that too was deadly. Millions of people died of that flu. Everything was locked down, pubs, theaters, churches, everything was locked down. And it was a terrible, terrible virus. But in those days, they didn't have the technology that we have today. I was not around in that first one, but I'm around now to see the terrible results of this virus. But we have technology. You can actually see me preaching to you. I can't see you, but you could see me. That's a wonder of modern technology. So we have some advantages to what they did in the 1918s. But this virus is shocking. It's terrible. I was reading this morning, they say that there's officially 370,000 people have died. And they say that is just the tip of the iceberg. They say those figures are not true figures because not every country is taking the correct statistics that they should be. Not all the deaths are being added. But we know for a fact 370,000 people have died in the last 3-4 months. That's shocking. That means a lot of hurting families, broken families, sad families, frightened families. This virus is a virus that has put the whole world on alert. And nobody knows when the end of it will be. I was listening to one report that says Africa is going to be like a slow burning fire. That the virus in Africa is going to last for many years to come. So there's all sorts of things are happening with regards to this virus. Many nations have got in shutdown, and many nations who've got in shutdown don't like the shutdown. We don't like the shutdown. I'm glad now that we in Australia are relaxing the shutdown. And I'll tell you this, I thank God for Australia. I thank God for Western Australia. We have done so, so well because we did the things right. And I look at some nations and I read they don't want the shutdown. They refuse to shut down. People are just not paying any obedience at all to the laws of their land. And they just think that somehow, some way, this thing might just go away. Well, it won't go away. It will continue to maim and kill and bring sadness. It's a virus. There's no antidote for it. There's no vaccine for it. In fact, if a nation can come up with a vaccine, that nation is going to be very, very wealthy. The whole world will want it. So everybody, countries all around the world are looking for a vaccine for this virus that has absolutely decimated our lifestyle. And not only are we suffering from this, but they tell us in months to come, or even years to come, the economics of this are going to be hurtful. They say many countries are going into depression and recession because of this. So while there is a virus that is making people ill, there's going to come an economic crisis that's going to affect people mentally and spiritually as well. There is no vaccine to this. And as I was thinking about this virus, it came to me that there is another virus in this world that's even worse than this one. I mean, right now, we are facing a virus that is worse than the virus that we're going through now, the coronavirus. There's another virus. But it's a spiritual virus. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. The Bible actually tells us about this virus. It's a virus that everybody in the world has. Now, I haven't had the coronavirus, praise God. I don't want to get the coronavirus, and neither do you. But I've got this other virus, and you have. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who lives in this world has got this virus that I'm talking about now. And you may say, well, what is this virus? I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? Well, this virus has given a name to it in the Bible. It's not a name that we use today, because when I say this name, some of you will know what I'm talking about, but others of you won't even know what I mean. If I say the virus that everybody has today is called sin, S-I-N, sin, just a three-letter word. Most people today don't know what that word means. And we've substituted another word or several other words for the word sin. Because when you use the word sin, that has connotations with God. And people don't want that. And so people don't use the term sin. They use the term crime. They use the term corruption. They use the term doing wrong. They use the term breaking the law. There's many other terms they use rather than calling it sin. But the Bible calls it sin. Every person in this world is contaminated with sin. Everybody. Just look at the world today. The world seems to be going mad. The world is greedy. The world's at war with itself. There's racial discrimination. We're seeing that right now in the United States of America. There's anger. There's jealousy. There's violence like we've never known it before. There's hunger, thirst. There's loneliness. There's anxiety, there's worry, there's depression all around us. Loneliness all around us. That's the world in which we live. It's contaminated with something. It's not a happy world. It's not a fulfilled world. It's not a secure world. People thought they were secure. Suddenly they get hit with this virus. The security is gone. Millions now are out of work. Their security is gone. We live in an insecure world. And the Bible says this insecurity, this sense of pain, this sense of contamination is brought about by sin. And what is sin? Sin is wrongdoing against God. Sin is wrongdoing against your neighbor. That's what sin is. Sin is doing what is wrong, not what is right. And sin to some people is pleasant. I'm amazed at how many people don't want to lock down because of this virus, and they want to take a chance. They want to go outside and mix. They want to play their sports. They want to do all those things they did before. They want to work. They want to rub shoulders with other people and take the chance. Well, people do that with sin, with this virus. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about punishment. They don't want to talk about judgment. They want to put that all to one side, and they want to do what they do just to please themselves. But the Bible says this virus that we have, which God calls sin, is more deadly than any virus that this world has seen. More deadly than the 1918 virus. More deadly than this coronavirus. More deadly than the Black Death. More deadly than anything. Because this virus affects everybody. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a price to be paid with the virus of sin. And that price is the judgment of God and death, a lost eternity. But you know what? God doesn't want that to happen. I'm going to tell you something that's true. God loves you just as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay just as you are. Let me say that again. God loves you just as you are. Even though we're contaminated with sin, he still loves us. Even though we're wicked and greedy and selfish, he still loves us. God loves us. God did not say, when you become good, then I'll love you. No. God loves us as we are. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, that is Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. The fact that the world is in this virus of sin doesn't stop God loving the world. God still loves you. Whatever you've done this week, whatever you've thought, whatever actions that you may even be ashamed of to tell anybody else about, God still loves you. And he's not waiting for you to get perfect before he loves you. He loves you now in your sin. But listen to this scripture that I read at the beginning. It's a beautiful scripture. Listen to what God says. God is speaking to you and me today. This scripture is speaking to me, John Warwick. Speak it to you out there who could see me and hear me. Speak it to the whole world. Speak it to Africa, America, Russia, France, England, Germany. Go any country in the world. This scripture speaks it to every person, no matter where they are. And this is what it says. Come now. This is God speaking. This is not the prophet. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. This is God speaking. Speaking to the world. Come now, let us reason together. It means that word reason means let's work this out. Come now, let's work through this. Come now, let's work this out. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like as crimson, they shall be like wool. God's saying something to us. Come on, let's work something out. Do you know why? There may not be an antidote for the coronavirus. There may not be a vaccine for that. But can I say to you today, there is a vaccine for sin. There is an antidote for sin. God came up with it. He's saying that though your sins are red, though your sins are like crimson, they will be white as snow. I do oil painting. It's a hobby of mine. And I like to paint all sorts. I do a little bit of portrait painting, but mainly I paint landscapes and seascapes. And I know, like any artist, that when you're using red paint, you have to be so careful. Because red paint is one of the strongest paints that there is in the spectrum. If you need to mix red with another color, you be careful because you will contaminate that color. Red will take over. Now, isn't it amazing that God has used the color red when describing to us our sin? You see, listen, let me read it again. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. though your sins are scarlet, though your sins are scarlet. Scarlet is a mixture of red and orange. That's a fact. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. Crimson is made up of red and blue. So red is a strong color that actually contaminates and permeates. God's used it. That's how sin is. God is saying sin contaminates. Sin permeates every part of your being. Now, if you think what I'm saying this morning is stupid, and if you think, oh, come on, that word sin is old-fashioned, it's gone, it's... Well, let me say something to you. I challenge you to try to live 1 week without doing anything wrong or saying anything wrong. I challenge you. In fact, I challenge you to go a day without doing anything wrong or thinking anything wrong or saying anything wrong. Once you try to live a perfect life, you begin to realize, hey, you can't do this. You may want to do right. You might have done something this week that you regret, but you still did it. You might have said something to somebody and afterwards you wish you'd bit your tongue off or wish you hadn't said those things, but you said them. There's people out there in prison who wished they never did what they did, but they did it. Somehow, some way, sin took over. I would suspect that every drug addict, every alcoholic out there would wish they were not a drug addict or an alcoholic. Everyone. Because they know the damage that that is going to do. I remember many, many years ago, I was witnessing to a man who was an alcoholic. And he was a very wealthy man. And I'd spent a lot of time talking to him about the Lord. And I went to see him one Saturday morning, and he was really down in the dumps. And I said, what is wrong with you? And he said, oh, I've just had a bad report from the doctors that my kidneys, my liver is shot, and I'm dying. And I said, why is that? He said, well, it's because of the alcohol, isn't it? I said, the alcohol is killing you. He says, yeah. So do you know what I did? I went into his kitchen, opened the cupboard doors, and I pulled out his beer. And I started to pour it down the sink. I did this. He came rushing up to me. What are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I'm pouring this poison away that's killing you. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. No, don't do that. I said, you just told me that this alcohol is killing you. Well, yes, it is. Well, let me pour it away. No, don't do that. I need it. I need it. And he stopped me from doing it. Within 6 months, that man was dead. He knew it was wrong, but he couldn't stop it. There's many of us do things that we know are wrong, but we can't stop it. Because like the color red, it's taken over. We've mixed too much of the red into the other colors of our life, and sin has taken over, and sin controls us. How sad that is. Would you agree? If you want to know why the world is in a mess today, it's not because we don't have good politicians. It's not because we don't have good politics. That's got nothing to do with it. Because whoever you choose as a politician, no matter what political power you use, it won't improve the world. The world has never been improved with politics, never will. Because the problem with the world is not that we don't have a good political system. The trouble with the world is all have sinned, said the Bible, and come short of the glory of God. And it's amazing how when we sin and things go wrong, we blame God. The Bible says that a man's own life really destroys his heart. But his heart rages against God. We want to blame somebody or something for our weakness. Blame our wife, blame our husband, blame our kids, blame our employer, blame the government, blame God. Let's blame anybody and everybody, but not ourselves. Well, yeah, the sin is within us. The weakness is within us. The fault is within us. We've become contaminated. But praise God, there is a vaccine for sin. Praise God that God has thought of something that will wipe away our sin, wash away our sin, and make us new people. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. John 3:16, that's what it says. And the scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is offering you a vaccine today. He's giving you an antidote for your sin today. He's giving you and me the answer to our sin. God is saying, I can cleanse you from your sin, though you're red like crimson, though you're like scarlet. Hey, let's reason this through. Let's work this through. You can become as white as snow, white as wool. You can if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me read another scripture to you, a beautiful one from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I want you to listen to this. This is the antidote. Listen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us or cleanses us from all sin. Let me read it again. If we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What is the antidote for sin? What is a vaccine for sin? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, there's an interesting thing. What color is blood? It's red. It's red. God describes sin as a strong contaminant. So he describes it like red, crimson, scarlet. It's powerful. But he also describes our antidote as more powerful. That also is red. And that red can take over. That red can take over our lives. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash us from head to toe of all the things we've ever done wrong. Whatever lie you've told. If you've stolen anything. If you've hurt people. If you've been selfish and greedy. Whatever has been wrong with you. Sin has contaminated you with those things. His blood, which is red, can wash away all your sin. Hallelujah. We praise God for the blood that Jesus Christ shed. He died. He died on Calvary. He died on a wooden cross. He was crucified. God allowed him to be crucified for the sin of the world. He shed his blood. Blood flowed from his body. And Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. He was never contaminated with sin. He never did wrong. There was no hatred in his heart. No violence with him. He loved. He loved God and he loved people. He did good. In fact, they could not find anything to accuse him of. When they came to bring him to trial, nobody could find anything to accuse him of. They tried. Nobody could accuse him of stealing. Nobody. They could accuse him of anything wrong. He'd not stolen and taken from anybody. He'd not committed adultery. He'd not done the things that we see so rampant about us. He was perfect. And because Jesus is perfect, he didn't have to die. Jesus is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't have to die, but God let him die so that his blood, because he was perfect and he did not have to die, he could die for the sin of the world so that your sin and my sin can be washed away. What a glorious thought that is. Can you imagine today if somebody comes up with the vaccine for the coronavirus? Can you imagine if it's foolproof and says, we found it, we found it? Can you imagine how many millions of people will be rushing to get the vaccine? Can you imagine that? The people in Brazil, the people in Peru, they'd be rushing for it. The people in India, they'd be rushing to get this vaccine because they don't want to die, become ill of this virus. Well, God's got a virus against wickedness, against evil, against sin and corruption, the blood of Jesus Christ. I wish that people will be rushing to the blood of Jesus to get cleansed, for God to wash their sin away so they can become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We're remembering that on this day 2,000 years ago, God poured out his Spirit. Jesus had died and shed his blood. He rose from the dead, went to heaven and poured out his Spirit upon mankind. His Spirit can come into your heart. Not only can he cleanse you from your sin, but the Spirit of Jesus comes within you and gives you strength to be a good Christian. Yeah, he can do that today with you. You may say to me, what's the point of me becoming a Christian? I'll never keep it up. Yes, you will, because the Spirit of Jesus will come within you and give you the strength that you need. He will bring you through. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful message that I brought to you today. I've been a Christian now for 64 years. That's a long time. 64 years I've been a Christian. And somebody said to me the other day, they were asking me how I became a Christian. I told them. And they said, well, how is it that after 64 years, you're still serving God? Why haven't you walked away? Why haven't you, like so many people do, why haven't you left church? Why haven't you left God? Why haven't you left the Bible? Why are you still a Christian today? And why are you still as passionate about God as you've ever been? And I thought for a moment and I said, yeah, I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about Jesus because I can't think of a better, more wonderful story than the story of the gospel. When I'd been saved a few years, a man said to me, oh, you're only a Christian because you was a young boy when you became a Christian. Somebody told you about Jesus. You believed. You're just a young boy. That's all you was. And so you gave your life to God and because somebody told you. And when this person said this to me, I was only a young man, I decided that what I would do would search to see if there are any other truths that are better than Christianity. So I studied Islam. I studied the Buddhists. I studied Hinduism, all the isms, in fact. I studied communism. I looked at everything. I deeply looked at them all. And I came up with the fact that none of those have the answers to life's problems like Christianity does. Christianity has the answer to life's problems because Christianity is taken from the Bible, which is God's word. Some of those religions, I'm telling you, they are foolish. They are absurd. They don't have the answers, but Christianity does. And so I decided, what better story is there than this? Christianity offers you the antidote for your sin, the blood of Jesus. Christianity offers you, if you put your trust in Jesus, let him wash you from your sin, you will have eternal life. You'll go to heaven. It'll give you joy. It'll give you peace. He'll give you fulfillment in life and satisfaction in life. He'll give you the ability to love God and to love other people. to want to do justice, to want to do what is right. I don't know of any other message in any other religion like that. I really don't. And I've studied, I've looked. To me, somebody said once to me, you only believe the Bible because you want to. And I said to this person, you're absolutely right. I do want to believe the Bible because the message of the gospel is so good. The word gospel means good news. I can't find good news out there. I can't see good news on the television. I can't see good news on Facebook. I can't see good news in any religion. But I see good news in God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you're looking at a man who's got the vaccine for sin. And I'm looking into this camera hoping I'm talking to a lot of people out there that also has the vaccine for sin. You're washed. You're cleansed. That's why we can sing these beautiful songs we've sung this morning from our heart. But I might be talking to somebody who hasn't received the vaccine. You're not cleansed from your sin. You've not let Jesus wash you clean. Well, I want him to do that, and I want to pray for you. Do you want to be clean? If you don't, you don't have to be. If you say to me, don't pray for me, I don't want to be clean, I'm just happy the way I am, well, then you will have to face the judgments of God. The Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. You may feel that what you're doing today is okay. Well, it's not. You're a sinner. You've done wrong. You need an antidote. You need a vaccine. You need the blood of Jesus to wash you and the Holy Spirit to come within you on this beautiful Pentecost Sunday. This could happen to you today. I'm going to pray now. And right now, you could receive Jesus into your life and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can become a different person. You could know that you've made your peace with God and that you have the gift of eternal life. I want to pray for you. And if that's you, and if you say, yeah, I want you to pray for me, there's things in my life I know are wrong. There's things I've done I know are wrong. I need forgiveness. Well, as I pray, just put your hand over your heart like that. If you do that while I'm praying for you, and you really hear this prayer, and you say amen to this prayer, then God will wash you right now from your sin. Jesus will come into your life, and you'll have the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. It would be a joyful thing if we got an antidote today to the coronavirus. If we get a vaccine, it will be a joyful thing. Well, I'm telling you, it's a more joyful thing to have the vaccine against sin and wickedness, the forgiveness of God to flow into you because of the blood of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart if you want me to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone today that's listening to this message. You know each person individually, Lord. You know their name, you know where they live, you know their problems. You know their hurts, their pains. You know exactly what they're going through. You know the doubts and confusion that they have. You know, Lord. But today I ask that people who are hearing this message will ask you to forgive them and to cleanse them, that they will have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right now, Father, people who need forgiveness and cleansing, as they open their heart to you, as they put their hand upon their heart, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse them, wash them, will purify them all sin. Your word and follow you through your word. May your blessing, may your peace be upon every one of us, upon all of us, Lord, I pray. And may people truly be saved today, forgiven, born again, changed by the power of God. And we will be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. And I trust you'll have a wonderful, wonderful day and a wonderful week serving Jesus. Thank you.
What a powerful message this morning. I have received this vaccine for 50 years already, and it's still working very well in this body of mine. If you make that prayer, send to us an email on op@gracecitychurch.org.au. I will keep you informed of the update with the restriction being relaxed. I'll write to you on an email. Remember, today is day, global day of prayer. People around the world will be praying. So I want you to get into the Prayer Connect WhatsApp between 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. and we will pray. We will pray to our Prayer Connect WhatsApp. I'm thankful that as a church, we love to pray and we will keep on praying. The Lord bless you. Keep yourself well.